everybody, and welcome back to the ESOP podcast. I'm your host, Chris, and with me are another host,
Andrea.
And today we have a special guest from Outreach and Recruitment, Brenda Alvarez.
Hey.
Yes, she's part of ESOP, just like us. And we're going to be talking about imposter syndrome and Brenda's experiences with imposter syndrome and being a part of ESOB and her future role as president of ESOB next year, which, yay!
Love to see it. All righty. So just tell us a little bit about your position and what you do and some of the experiences you've had within the ESOB itself.
Yeah, so currently within ESOB, I'm the outreach and recruitment chair. So I'm basically in charge of getting EOP's message and ESOB's message as well out there. We kind of focused on high schools this semester, and it's exciting because next year we're planning on kind of expanding also to our transfer students some more, which I know both of you guys are transfers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, that's kind of a little bit about like the position that I'm currently in, and I believe I was going to mention something else that kind of slipped my mind, but yeah, that's kind of it for now.
That's super cool. So I guess we can talk a little bit about like how you got started in ESOB or how you got into EOP.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I got involved in EOP more my sophomore year for sure. My freshman year, kind of a blur. I feel like, my freshman year was a little bit harder, and I do believe that it's because I wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. So I think the good thing is I was connected with my EOP counselor, which is Robert. I'm sure you guys know him. He's our advisor. But I think connecting with him was definitely like the first step in figuring out where I can start getting more involved. He mentioned ESOB to me and over the summer, so after my freshman year, and invited me to the orientation and stuff. And after that, I met everyone. Everyone was so amazing, friendly, welcoming. And it kind of just went from there. I started off as social chair, so events and stuff. And I was a co-chair with two other amazing members, Chelsea and Cameron. Mm-hmm. And so it was super fun. I still remember like the first event we made, which was like the bowling event, and that was pretty cool. But yeah, that's kind of how I started getting involved.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that I think that's very similar to us too.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Robert mentioned like ESOP to me, and I took a chance on it, and I'm very happy that I did. It
kind of sounds like Robert's a recruiter. And hey, you heard ESOP? You want to join the board?
Yeah, he's amazing.
And then you also kind of briefly touched on your freshman year kind of being a blur. But do you have any like experiences coming? But coming into SDSU as a freshman, would you say you felt like you had imposter syndrome, especially as an EOP student coming into such a big school?
Definitely. I would say so. My freshman year, this is going to sound a little silly, but I feel like I've maybe shared this before around you guys in some ways, but my freshman year, I thought it was like a mistake that I got admitted. I didn't do that well my senior year of high school. I kind of struggled. I don't know. What is that called? Like senioritis?
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah.
I feel like that kind of hit me a little hard like near the end. In my classes, my econ class like kicked me in the butt. And so when I got my acceptance email, I thought it was like somehow a mistake.
This can't be right.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, like I'm gonna show up to orientation day and they're gonna be like, no, you actually weren't.
We don't have a Brenda here.
Yeah, I was so scared. So yeah, definitely imposter syndrome from the get-go, since even before I stepped on campus. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's I am first gen. Mm-hmm. I'm the oldest of four, so I was kind of like, I've never, you know.
Yeah, you have a lot of expectations to live up to.
So I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be here, like if I had a spot here. Mm-hmm. I also didn't really know that many people, like directly in my major that were coming into San Diego State. Mm-hmm. So I was just a little nervous. And yeah, like my first week of school was very hard. I think also as a commuter, I think you guys might kind of relate to that. I think talked a little bit about like being a commuter student. So on top of that, I feel like being a commuter was hard.
Being a commuter adds a whole another level.
Like, but there is this sort of feeling of like isolation from like campus life. You kind of feel like everybody that kind of like lives on campus is like they're in their own bubble, mm-hmm. and you just like
always I'm stepping always, in here a little
always
bit.
Always on the outside. And yeah, a lot of things that you are saying like really, I think, hit home for a lot of us, but specifically like feeling imposter syndrome before you even step on campus, I think is a huge one. I think like in the conversations around imposter syndrome that I've heard, you know, it's mainly like once students are on campus, mm-hmm. like they start to feel isolated, feeling like they don't belong.
Especially as you're saying, like we're commuter students, so it's a lot more of an isolation than someone that's living on campus.
Yeah. But like Brenda highlighted, like it does start before you even come on campus. Like I would say like it starts as soon as you get that acceptance letter. I mean, it did for me.
Yeah.
Sort of that feeling that you're like, I don't think I'm good enough to be at State. I don't think I'm good enough to be in this program, or, you know, that just those kind of feelings that are hard to tackle, I think, without like the proper resources. And mm-hmm. I think EOP students are kind of isolated, like marginalized.
Yeah, and honestly, like, it's strange to hear you guys say like it happens before, because like I feel like as soon as I stepped on campus, I'm like, do I deserve to go here? Am mm-hmm. I like, do I have the good enough grades to continuously be mm-hmm, here?
Yeah.
And it, honestly, like you guys said, it's very isolating, but like having EOP there, a lot of people that can help you feel welcome and have your own place there is something mm-hmm. that's really great, especially as a commuter student. Mm-hmm. Having a safe place to go on campus really does help out a lot.
Yeah. Brenda, I wanted to ask, because for me, I do, especially when I transferred, like, I do remember, like, the first kind of, like, moment mm-hmm. in, like, the first year I was here where I sort of had the feeling, like, oh, maybe I do belong here. I mean, mm-hmm. not that the feelings of imposter syndrome ever go away. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
But it was, like, this kind of, like, mm-hmm. moment where I was like, oh, maybe I do. Do you remember what that moment was like for you?
I'm trying to think back. I remember very clearly the moment I felt very out of place. And so, like, remembering that feeling and then kind of, like, contrasting that to when I did feel like I was where I found my community, mm-hmm. I think it would probably be once I joined the board. I feel like when I came into meeting everyone, I was a little intimidated, not because of them. It was just kind of more self-doubt within myself. Mm-hmm. But then being able to talk to everyone and how the welcoming aspect of it, mm-hmm. it kind of like, I was like, oh, there's people here who are like me, who are on an executive board, mm-hmm. who are involved. I'm like, I feel like I can see myself doing something like this. So, and this is on campus. I'm at school. So maybe, you know, that's kind of, I feel like where the first feelings of belonging stemmed from were definitely within the EOP mm-hmm. office and within those people around me.
Yeah.
And regarding like the ESOP board or even like personal achievements that you've had maybe within a class, have you felt any imposter syndrome even when you are achieving something great? Maybe like you completed like a very hard task that took forever. Maybe like the presentations we have coming up in about a week or so.
I think sometimes within certain classes where you kind of look around you and you're the only person that is maybe an EOP student, or you start trying to connect with people and mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I'm an EOP, do you know what that is? And then it's like, like crickets, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Never heard of it.
So, yeah, so it's like, which, I mean, I guess it is kind of hard for people to connect with a program that they're not a part of or that maybe they've never heard of. But I feel like in those settings, when I try to connect with people and there's like a different demographic around me that's majority than than me, I think sometimes like working with those people, I wonder if it kind of relates to the question you were asking, but kind of that's how I take that question. It's the different type of people that I interact with sometimes, learning different people's experiences. And it's sometimes hard to connect and work with people who maybe don't relate to a lot of the same things as me. But it also is something that I found is good to practice as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. And I think it's sort of I think students in EOP, like, you know, not trying to make it seem like we're, like, superior, but there's a sort of, like, empathy, I think, that we all carry. And when we, like, make connections with each other, like, you can see it very clearly. And I personally, that's something I struggle with when I'm trying to make connections, like, outside of EOP, is, especially here at State, you know, being a low-income student, like, we have a lot of demographics, and so especially, like, in my major, like, it's been very hard to sort of, like, make connections and have people, like, really understand what being at State means to us, because
it means the world.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe to other students, like, you know, it's just education.
Yeah, it's just another chapter.
For EOP students, I think it means something a bit deeper.
Yeah.
That there just seems to be like a lack of understanding.
I kind of feel like being at State, especially as an EOP student, it feels like a milestone. Especially when you're talking about being a first-gen college, your parents haven't graduated, but you're going to be the first one to stay here and graduate. It's a huge milestone, but when others, they probably already have parents that have graduated, it's not as big as a deal for them. It's just a school, and I feel like, especially when you're putting yourself through school as well, it really makes a big impact. And along the lines of with EOP, I know like it's a lot easier for us to really connect with people that are kind of going through the same thing. Whereas if you're in a class and you don't see any EOP students or you don't know any EOP students in there, it's going to be a lot harder.
Yeah. I remember when I first transferred, I took the transfer seminar for EOP and Robert was my professor. And I just remember feeling this kind of like sense of community from students who were also commuters, who were like first gen, who really sort of understood, like, you know, where I was coming from and like the sort of the fears and the doubts that I had. And I love that about EOP, how we're sort of able to like foster a community and
really like depend on people.
Yeah, and even when I got accepted into ESOB, I remember doing an interview with Saron and Kate, and as soon as the interview ended, like it was so, like they were so nice, but I remember just feeling like they're not gonna accept me.
I felt
like,
that
like I didn't prove anything, and then when I got the email that I was a part of ESOB, I was like, did they send it to the wrong person? it was just this sort of kind of just, you know, those feelings of self-doubt within yourself. And I remember, like, you were so welcoming and you were so kind. And I just remember feeling like, oh, my God, like, they're so, like, so supportive. I had never been around like another group of students that were just so supportive of each other and so welcoming, like into a space that I hadn't been before. And so that was really lovely.
And within like EOP itself, I feel like as we talk about Robert a lot, would you say like there's anyone, maybe like a counselor or another professor within there that really helped you like maybe get out of an episode of imposter syndrome or made you feel really welcome?
I feel like most, well, also thank you for this, for those kind words, Andrea. That was so sweet. I think that just being in the office itself is like I would say everyone, like all the staff, is so kind. They take the time and effort to know your name. Robert is my EOP counselor and is my major advisor, so he's like my connection. I also connected with other staff in the office, but I think Robert would be like my main person. Not saying that there was anyone else, but since he was both like on my navigate, like who would I I'll always choose him. Yeah. So I guess like most of the things there were always conversations that I've had with him, not even just as a meeting, but even informally, like if I see him in the office.
Yeah, you can just stop him and chat for a little bit.
He definitely is always there just to talk to someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had a lot of other connections as well. I know that most of the people that I connected with was people on the board as well. Mm-hmm. I feel like even if they're not staff, I think a lot of the times it's nice because I think everyone's always open to talk about our experiences. Mm-hmm. And how we feel about being first-gen students or just being EOP students in general. So I think that's also like another outlet for me where I can kind of speak to people in my on the board as well.
Yeah, basically like your circle. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah, EOP really does feel like a safe space. Like when I go into the office, it's like this kind of like everyone is so kind and so open and so welcoming. And I remember I had my first meeting with Bianca, my counselor, and I remember we just met like once, you know, just to like when I first transferred. And the second time I saw her was just like passing her through EOP. And like, she was like, "Hi, Andrea, how are you?" And I was like, she remembers my name.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that kind of thing where I think the staff, like, they just build such like
confidence,
a connection, mm-hmm. and a bond with mm-hmm. all of us, and I think it makes it feel like such a safe space.
And honestly, I kind of feel like it's just the small things. The smallest things will go a long way, especially when you're going through imposter syndrome. To have someone recognize you and say basically you belong here in a type mm-hmm. of way really makes you feel at home, and it kind of calms the mind down.
Yeah, that reminds me of how because my first year, I would say I could walk around campus and not recognize anyone, or no one would recognize me for sure. Yeah. But after I started getting more involved, that's why I feel like it's so important. Now I realize the importance of getting involved now, or like just finding mm-hmm. your community, because I remember so clearly the first times where I could walk on campus and actually say hi to people, or like kind of just like recognize or smile at someone and from class or from EOP or something like that. It's just, it makes a difference. Kind of like how you were saying, Chris, those small things make a difference, because now a campus, it doesn't feel like a campus anymore. It's starting to feel more like something where you belong. Where you want to come to school and stuff.
Especially as a commuter student, like especially when I was in community college, it was just a place that I wanted to go and leave. Mm-hmm. But like when you find your own community here and you find the people from your class mm-hmm. and they say hi to you, they welcome you. And especially going into the EOP office, everyone kind of remembers you. They know your name.
Yeah.
I feel like just having that alone really makes me
feel at home.
You're
not in a rush to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I remember when I first got here, I was like, okay, to class and then straight home. Yeah. But I think, like Brenda said, like now, like walking around, like I see people from EOP, I see people from ESOB, and we're just like, hi, how are you? It makes you feel like you're actually like in this space mm-hmm. and like we really have a part to play in it.
Right.
Which I think is very nice. So I think we can talk a little bit more about ESOB because, as you said, you're outreach and recruitment. But you have a special promotion next year as president of the board.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about like your initial feelings. Like, how did you feel when you got the news?
Well, I'm excited. I'm nervous too. I would say.
I mean, who wouldn't be?
Yeah. I mean, it was a really nice moment when Saron and Kate let me know. I really look up to them. Genuinely, I see them as not just as friends, but also as role models. Like when I first met them, it's just they do so much, you know, and they're very accomplished. And so when they told me and they gave like the little like reasoning and all of that, I just felt it felt nice to hear that from people who I consider to be role models. And I was, you know, kind of like just shocked also. Mm-hmm. A lot of emotions, definitely. Just excited overall. And am looking forward to the opportunity of, you know, continuing to be on the board and then working with everyone on the board is like so amazing. Everyone's very dedicated, and it's just nice to be able to be around those people again next year. And you know, all the new members as well is going to be very exciting.
A lot of fresh faces.
Yeah,
we have the biggest board next year, right?
I think we'll be around 14. Mm-hmm. So we're growing. Yay. I know that when Saron and I were talking about how the board used to be smaller and then this year and now, I feel like we're just going to continue to grow. And I think mm-hmm. that's really nice to see, you know, kind of like take it on that space and mm-hmm. continue to do what we're doing. And yeah, I mean, conducting the interviews was pretty cool. I had never done that before. That was new.
You're the one finally asking the questions.
Yeah, and then she's asking the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, because it was Jen and I, and then Saron would mm-hmm. sit in some as well. Help, you know, I couldn't do it without Saron. She's so helpful. Like, she's really guiding me towards what I'll need to do, all the preparation. Yeah. And then Jen, who's going to be our vice president next year, she's also amazing, super supportive. Yeah, it's just amazing people to be around, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, well, you might have been shocked to hear about your choosing, like, to be president, but I wasn't for sure. When they told me it was Brenda, I was like, of course, how could it not be Brenda? Aww. Like, you're so, so like determined, and you care so much about what we do, and you're so dedicated. And like, even though like you do something different in ESOB, and like Chris and I do something different, like I remember you telling me like if you need anything, like let me know. And so just kind of that. That sort of commitment that you've like had with all of us and with the board and all of that, I was like, oh well, duh, it's Brenda.
And especially with like co and outreach recruitment, you're already helping people that could potentially be coming into SU's itself, and I feel like just being able to help those people will really help you translate into being a better president. And then you were also talking about in the very beginning about maybe doing stuff for transfer students or having transfer students more involved. Do you have any like set like details on that?
So we did have before in years before. So it'd be outreach and recruitment, and then we'd also have a co-outreach and recruitment for transfer students. But it was a little harder to kind of mediate what we could do exactly, how we could support that demographic in a way that was tailored specifically to them. So it kind of went away mm-hmm. a little bit. But then when Jen and I were discussing positions for this upcoming year, we wanted to kind of make sure that I feel like if it's an outreach and recruitment in general, it's a little harder to do, say, K through 12. And then also it's like a big pool of students for one person to focus on.
No, definitely. More.
So I was, Jen and I were commenting on that and kind of saying how it would be important to have someone specifically focus on transfers, because I think it's easy to not kind of focus certain events on different groups when I feel that one position is needed for that.
I feel like it would be really helpful with having like transfer events too, because when I came in here, I was lost. Like, I didn't really know any like EOP events or like having maybe like a mixer with like a whole bunch of transfer students coming in to meet everyone.
Yeah.
Like my first semester, I was basically like alone. I didn't know anyone on campus. I feel like I didn't belong. But you talking about how you're gonna help like transfer students really makes me happy for the people that are going to be coming into the school and having actually someone that can really guide them and help them progress as a human being.
Yeah, I think it could really change like the dynamic of that first year as a transfer student and feeling all the feelings. And, you know, I now picturing my first year, I was like,
exactly.
It could have been a little bit different, like, you know, just being more involved in EOP.
Yeah, I would agree, because I feel that when we were talking about it too, all of us, was also just how important it is, because I think incoming freshmen, you know, it's hard as well, but I think, I mean, I'm commenting as not a transfer student, so I wonder if you guys can kind of, touch more on kind of how that feels. But I think that I've heard from some friends of mine, who are transfer students, how much harder it can be to kind of go to an event or, you know, feel that, get that sense of belonging. Because as an incoming freshman, I think it's a little easier to kind of get a group of freshmen to be like, oh, let's go try these things. But coming in as a transfer student, it's
everyone's
like another dynamic.
We're coming in as juniors. Yeah, right. So I remember going to classes and like everybody already knew each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, great.
Yeah, so it's like kind of how do you manage going about that?
Even just trying to find the first step and like what direction you want to take, it's just really hard to overcome as a transfer.
I mean, Chris and I have said this multiple times throughout the podcast, but for me, like really like that transfer seminar with Robert really saved me in a lot of ways. I would have been so lost and so alone without it, because it was just so overwhelming.
I think it's just emphasizing that feeling of kind of knowing that the people around you know where you're coming from. I think that I like how Chris mentioned like a mixer of specifically transfer students, because it's easier to connect with people who are in similar, the same boat as you coming in.
And I've like, you know, now obviously being at State, like I've met a lot of transfer students and like they went to the same community college as me.
Oh, wow.
Right. But, you know, community college, it's and also I was in community college during the pandemic. But there's there's sort of a kind of like a disconnect. Like there's not like really like staying on campus. It's kind of just like going to class and leaving. So like there was a lot of people I didn't know at my community college. And now that I've transferred to State, like, I meet them, and, like, we went to the same place.
Yeah.
I didn't see you. Where were you?
And I would think, like, that would be, like, such a great way for people to connect transfers here at State. Like, most of them probably come from the same community college, and they just have no idea.
And especially with the, I believe there's a transfer center on campus. I feel like posting up a flyer in there, getting a whole bunch of transfer students that are maybe from EOP to meet other people from EOP would be great.
Yeah, that's definitely a good idea.
Well, we're coming towards the end of our time, but, you know, just to end on a positive note. So, as we mentioned, Brenda, you're going to be president of the board next year. Like, what is your future vision for next school year?
Well, I really think that the way that the board is now with Saron and Kate, you know, they have done an amazing job. I think they're really great, and I want to follow that example. I think that just kind of being able to connect, I think the board as a whole is just also kind of like a friend group. So I think that's really cool, and I think I want to continue to establish that community within the board. And Jen and I talked about kind of, you know, continuing on what we have and growing, you know, I think just like growing, expanding, opening other doors for the board, for EOP students to connect with other resources on campus. I think really like our vision is to expand and connect also more with staff in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I think that we're the liaison as the board of EOP to connect with EOP staff. And I think kind of generating or fostering that a little bit more next year is kind of something that we talked about for sure.
And sorry to interrupt. I just have one more question to ask you.
Okay.
If you could give a student, a viewer maybe listening, any advice on maybe like overcoming imposter syndrome itself or maybe getting involved, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's always a good idea to ask, and also reminding yourself that everyone around you, especially coming in as a new student, is more likely than not also feeling the same way. So I think pushing yourself to be more extroverted in some ways, saying hi to the person that you sit next to every day could be a big step in creating a friendship.
That's pretty scary stuff.
Yeah. I think maybe just finding those resources on campus too. I think I didn't know my whole freshman year where the EOP office was. So maybe looking for, you know, if you're an EOP student, it might be nice to connect with your counselor and know where they're at. That would be my advice. I think starting off small can get you to big places. So
yeah, and I mean, it's definitely gotten you to big places. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
It's so amazing, like, hearing your experiences and, you know, sort of coming in as a student and feeling all the things we feel as EOP students. And now, like, you're going to be president of the executive board that represents EOP students. Like, that's, it's really amazing, and it's really inspiring, and I hope, we just know you're going to do great things.
Yeah, we already know you're going to be amazing.
Thank you guys so much.
Well, guys, thank you for listening to this episode. Please follow our Instagram at ESOB of SDSU for all announcements of our upcoming events, and stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you for listening, and see y'all next time.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye.
Today's podcast was recorded at the Digital Humanities Center at the San Diego State University Library.